Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. It's Mr. David Paxton all the way from New York.
Hey.
How's it going, David?
I'm doing good. How you doing out there in Texas?
Well, we're hanging in, that's for sure.
Okay.
Weather's
getting fun over here. Any riots out there or anything?
No? I think we had some idiots in Dallas. There may have been a few idiots in Austin. And I've heard it mentioned on TV, but I haven't seen anything, so I'm assuming it was kind of tamped down. I don't know for sure, you know, but there's a few idiots in the metropolitan areas that can't think for themselves. And I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings, but it's the truth. You know, get off of this, you know, propaganda media and go find real news outlets and really educate yourself. And, you know, your perspective is going to change. I guarantee it. You know, so that's just me, David. What do you think?
Well, I know some people that were offered money to go and riot and protest.
Yeah, I heard it was $10,500 a week.
Well, it depends on, you know, who's doing it. They found this billionaire dude who was actually stealing the U.S. aid money and then siphoning it back through, and he's still doing it. That's what the judges were there, because the judges were getting in. That's a big thing. However, the people here in New York are you know, starting to rise up.
Yeah.
Mostly it's the legal immigrants that are here. They spend
right.
a lot of time and money to get here, and they don't like the illegal ones. They said all they're doing is coming in. You know, I got one really good friend from Mexico, and he's a contractor. You know, he spent a lot of money. He built his business. He's got a home improvements contracting company, and you know, we work with him every day. And he worked hard to get here and his family. And now he's mad at all these people just trying to sneak it. He won't even hire them. He's like, go get your papers. And he's Mexican.
Yeah.
But even around the city right now, the cops are definitely building up. I've even seen them in the streets in Manhattan. And they're just randomly standing in the street looking in the cars as they're coming by.
Checking it out.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, you pull over.
Which
technically is illegal, but we're trying to save the country. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, New York's way ahead of everybody else in the country, but, you know, because they've been hit more, you know. They're used to it, and they're trained for it. And, you know, I feel pretty good about what they're able to do, because they are trained for it, and they're trained well. David, you want to go ahead and pry us into the show, and then we'll get going from there.
All right. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word, and we thank you, Father, for your promises. We thank you that you've helped us to understand these times that are coming upon us now, but they are temporary, and they're only here because the devil knows that you are coming to rule momentarily, so he's terrified and starting to ramp things up. We pray that we can get that word out so people can understand, and then they would come to know you, and then they too would be ambassadors for Christ and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Of course, we have to knock them off the "you're not the last Christian" list, but you know, as many as we can get to come in, that's great. You know,
well, only one of them could be the last one, right?
Yeah, any one of them is going to be that lucky individual. You know, this is the ultimate lottery. You know. You know, you play the lottery, you try to win. Whoever is the last Christian just won the lottery. You know.
Yeah, you don't want to be the guy like a split second after the last
Exactly. Yeah. That would be awful. Yeah, that's worse than being Mr. Irrelevant, you know, the last guy selected in the NFL draft. Now, I don't have a listing here of exactly what we're going to talk about, so I'm going to go through this a little bit at a time.
There's plenty of it.
Yeah, there is. And I want to start over in Israel and Iran, because, you know, that's where everybody's concentrating right now. I guarantee you, if you're on the news, this is all you hear. Israel did launch a sweeping military operation over the weekend that has targeted a strategic military and nuclear infrastructure. There have been multiple waves of this, fighter jets targeting the enrichment facilities, missile storage bunkers, and IRGC command centers. They've also been hitting a few, David, not all of them, but a few of the fuel depots. So, you know, they take out Iran's fuel. They just took out every penny they earn. Looking here, at Iran has responded with an aggressive counterattack, launching hundreds of the ballistic missiles. And I'm just going to interject here, hundreds of the ballistic missiles they still have left. Their supplies are running low. They're also sending suicide drones targeting cities across Israel. And the Iron Dome there in Israel is successfully intercepting most of these missiles. Some have hit in Tel Aviv and Haifa, and also in, I don't know if that's spelled or pronounced exactly the way it sounds, but Bat Yam.
Bat Yam.
Bat Yam, okay. You got civilian casualties. That's because the Iranians don't target military installations, weapon depots. They want death. They want, you know, human numbers that they've taken out.
And they're more happy to kill women and children than they are of soldiers.
Absolutely. And the intensity here, the intensity of the strikes has caused widespread power outages in Iranian cities, not in Israeli cities. Government buildings, metro stations, public mosques were converted into fallout shelters, better known as military fallback positions. And then you've got civilian panic has spread across Tehran, Isfahan and Om, as fears of escalation to a full-blown regional war grow. And I can tell you that Israel, they're pounding them hard, but you know, you're not seeing anything from Iran because they don't allow the pictures out. So then also with Hezbollah and the Houthis, this is on the Lebanese border, and Hezbollah launched over 100 rockets into northern Israel in a show of solidarity with Tehran. Israeli artillery responded immediately, targeting known Hezbollah command posts. Meanwhile, the Houthis in Yemen deployed dozens of suicide drones into the Red Sea, targeting commercial shipping. The U.S. Navy has intercepted most of them, but at least one vessel sustained some moderate damage, not an American vessel, by the way. And then if you look at this from an evangelical standpoint, this multi-front surge aligns very closely with prophetic passages describing a confederation of nations rising against Israel. And again, there, you know, we've looked at it many times, Ezekiel 38 and 39, which foretells a time when Israel stands alone but survives through divine intervention. So believers should recognize that the convergence of prophecy and current events, and, you know, pray for both the peace of Jerusalem and also readiness for what may, and I hope and pray will, come soon. And that is, of course, Lord Jesus and with the rapture. So, David, what do you got to say on all that?
It's really, really interesting. We follow several news sites, and like an Amir is probably one of the best ones.
Yeah.
Sarfati. Make sure I say it right. Sarfati, okay. But we see, like, moment by moment, like even like right now, is just saying, okay, Israel reports that they destroyed over 100 military launchers or like missile launchers.
Right.
So we see all these things happening, but again, we're back in Ezekiel over and over and over. How many
over
times?
Over and over again. Yeah.
Way back here, and it's just crazy. And that leads me to something else. I could do a little side note that most people don't even recognize, and that's so Ezekiel's, you know, one of the prophets, right? And just like Elijah and whatnot. So we see here in the book of Revelation, you know, even towards the end, the blood of the saints and the prophets, you know, we talk about the angels in Revelation. The angels are our messengers. It's angelos in the Greek. Okay. And I think I might have mentioned this before, but I want to hear it again.
Okay.
So, it's Revelation 22:4. This is afterwards, but it kind of gives the impression of who are these angels talking about. So in 22:4, you know, where'd we go? There we go. And there shall be no night there. And said, okay. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. So he's talking about after the events of Revelation. And there shall be no night, no need of the candle, neither any light. And the Lord giveth them light. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. So John's seeing his vision of afterwards. Mm-hmm. And then he's telling about the angel who's showing him the vision. Okay?
Yeah.
Now think about that for a second. Here's a messenger, let's say, right? And he said, oh, I'm at the end. You know, there's going to be, you know, because it's Revelation 22, there's going to be no more night there. Jesus is going to be the light. And he's at the end. And then he backs up a little bit and saying, these sayings are faithful and true. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about the vision now. And then he goes back to talking with this angel, messenger. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, watch this. It's pretty cool. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets. So this is the Lord God of the holy prophets. So we know who the holy prophets are. Ezekiel is one of them.
Right.
Isaiah, Elijah, on and on and on. So he sent his angel to show them unto his servants, which must shortly be done. So here's John, and he's seeing his vision. He's seeing in the sky, because remember we learned the Matzaroth tells the story of creation, okay? Mm-hmm. And then the prophets are basically explaining what's happening in the Matzaroth stories. So here we are. He's talking about the prophets, and here's John seeing these things. And, mm-hmm. and so in verse 8, it says, I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our American mind, we think, oh, that's one of the angels, you know, like with the wings and all that stuff, mm-hmm.
right?
Because that's what we think. But the word is angelos, which means messenger. So check out verse 9. Then he said unto me, see thou not do it. So see thou do it not. And check out who he says he is. Now, the Lord God of the holy prophets, he's telling them the story. Here it all is. And the whole story of Revelation is in the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude gets up and says, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets,
mm-hmm.
and them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Now, let me ask you a question. Are the angels our brothers?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that one, David. I thought we were superior to the angels, but...
Well, we're a different class of being, and
okay.
we do have, you know, jurisdiction over them. We will judge angels.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not brothers in that sense,
okay.
because that's what this is saying. I am your fellow servant, so I'm the same as you.
Like a brother in Christ.
Okay. And I'm of your brother, the prophets. So, okay.
Okay.
The prophets were the brothers of the Jews.
Okay.
And those which keep the sayings of this book. Angels don't keep the sayings of the book. The book was written for mankind.
Right. Okay.
These, quote, angels that are showing John the vision are the prophets.
Ah, okay.
Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
And he specifically said, don't worship me. I'm your brother. I'm your fellow servant. I'm one of the prophets.
Oh, okay.
And that's what happened. All the prophets are telling the story of Revelation. There's over 800 allusions to the Old Testament and the prophets in the book of Revelation. And that's what he's clearly saying.
Okay.
Well, all right, isn't that wild? Because we always think it is angel, you know.
Yeah.
It's angel.
Yeah,
and then, then we back up, and in Revelation 11 even talks about that. The nations were angry, our wrath has come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou should judge, give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name. Okay, so he's talking about them as well there. So I am of the opinion that at least some of these, what we call angels in here, are actually the prophets coming back and telling the story, either through the books that they wrote, and that's what John saw, or they literally came back in a vision to show him, just like they did on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty cool. I really hadn't thought about that before. That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what it says.
Yeah. Not making it up. It's in the book. So if it's in the book,
listen,
it's important.
I didn't write it. I'm just reading it.
All right, well, let's move on to the next topic now.
All right.
This is the great power chessboards, or the kings of the East. It says China escalates pressure on Taiwan. The military forces there crossed Taiwan's air defense identification zone with 47 aircraft and multiple warships. Some of the jets flew beyond the median line, a previously respected boundary. Taiwan responded by scrambling fighters and activating missile defense systems. This incursion marks the most aggressive activity in months and follows joint naval drills with Russia in the East China Sea. Now, China media describes these maneuvers as a preparation for inevitable reunification. Russia is also maneuvering along the Ukraine border. Russian forces intensifying artillery attacks in western Ukraine, particularly in the Lviv region. Satellite footage confirms mobilization of armor and supports columns near the Ukrainian border, possibly preparing for new land operations. Let's see if I've got another one on this. I think I do. Yeah, here we go. This is, meanwhile, reports suggest that Russia has moved short-range nuclear assets into Belarus, and NATO is monitoring the development with allied forces in Poland placing on high alert. Now, the evangelical reaction to this is the prophetic picture of the kings of the East moving into strategic alignment becomes more vivid with each passing week. As China and Russia posture aggressively, the global order is shifting. Revelation 16 speaks of nations preparing for a climatic battle, their hearts hardened for war. This is a time for the church to be both watchful and prayerful. And I agree with that 100%. But what we just read over there, David, is wars and rumors of wars, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And it's getting worse and worse and worse.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And then, so when we see the kings of the East, people tie that together sometimes with, the 200 million man army.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we've heard of that, right?
Right.
And all the vials coming out. But I want to present something different. Because to actually muster up a 200 million man army is like, that's really hard.
Yeah, really hard. Yeah.
You'd have to have 200 million fighting age men to come out and then supply them all. You know, many guns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So... I want to present something again to the Greek.
Okay.
And there we go. Let me see. I'll find it. You talked about Revelation 16. Let me see. 200,000. So we're actually, if we back up to Revelation 9, it says a number of the horsemen. So a lot of this, I love Hal Lindsey because he, you know, basically opened up prophecy to the current age, but a lot of this stuff he didn't understand fully at the time. So in the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. So I'm in Revelation 9:14. Okay. So where is he? He's at the loosing four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates.
Okay.
All right. And we see the Euphrates is drying up, right?
Okay. Okay.
And that's like a big thing. We see all the rivers are being dried up over there, and that's exactly what the Bible says.
Yeah.
It's going to dry. But the four angels are loose, which were prepared for an hour a day, a month, and a year to slay a third part of men. So there we got a third part of the earth going out again. Mm-hmm. And it says the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them, and I saw the horses in the vision. They had sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three the third part of men were killed by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone which entered out of their mouth. They, in the Greek, they didn't have a million. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in the Greek, this literally says twice 10,000 times 10,000, because that was their highest number.
Okay.
And so if you have 10,000, which is to them, oh, that's an innumerable number, 10,000.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then you do it again, and then it's 10,000 times 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
This is like an unimaginable innumerable number. And then double that again. So into the English, it's like, oh, a 200 million man army.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's not a 200 million man army. It's literally, and it says cavalry, the horsemen, the, and the number of the horsemen, army of the horsemen. So the horsemen is a cavalry force. It doesn't necessarily mean a soldier.
Okay.
And it doesn't even necessarily mean a human being.
Okay.
So what it's showing is, okay, the angel poured out the trumpet, the Euphrates dried up, they opened the abyss because it was four angels holding it down, and this innumerable amount of these cavalry forces from the abyss came out.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is. It's not, this, and then they conflate that with the 200 million man army from the east.
Okay.
And it's they weren't. You're conflating Revelation 16 as the kings of the east with this 200, and that's in chapter 16 with the 200 million that are here in chapter 9. So just to correct a little eschatology there, I want to make sure that we got to realize that it's getting to the point that the reason Iran wants all these nuclear weapons is they believe their Mahdi will come out of the grave when they cause this chaos, because the chaos is going to crack open the earth, and then he's going to come out of the cave as a leader, and all his friends, his cavalry is going to come out. Yeah. So we see that same language here in the book of Revelation. We're going to see this evil dude pretending to be the savior of the world coming out, which we surmise is Satan. And he's going to have this innumerable demon army coming out that have all these crazy, descriptions that we just read. So, don't conflate the kings of the east so much with the 200 million man army. Realize that when they do set off all these nuclear things, they're cracking open the abyss, which is one of the things they're trying to do with CERN, and that's one of the main reasons they want all these nuclear weapons. They want to bust the earth open.
Well, I'm wondering if Iran doesn't already have one. That's just me,
Russia's going to give them one if they don't.
One thing that I do know is that Iran's time to do something is running out. They're sending their ballistic missiles into Israel, and some of them are getting through. Hypersonic missiles into Israel, some of them are getting through. Every report I've got says that their supply of these missiles is depleting. They don't have a way to get more in right now, anyway. I mean, over time they would, but if the United States is giving Israel satellite imagery, which they are, then anything they see coming in from Russia, well, they'll probably wait till the Russian troops are gone, but then they'll take it out, one thing that I wanted to bring up here that I have heard, and I've got very credible reports on this, is it's not so much that they're running out of missiles, they're running out of missile launchers. Every time they shoot off a missile, Israel knows exactly where it came from. They pinpoint that and they blow it up. So they're losing their military launchers with every launch. They're running low on missiles, period. And Israel's armed to the teeth, and they don't care if the United States helps them or not. I mean, right now Trump is saying, you hit an American, God help you, basically. We're going to come in full steam. So I think they're holding off about that. But I don't know how much longer that they're going to have to gamble that just maybe getting the United States in it brings it to an end. I don't know. I don't have an opinion on this, but let me ask you this, David, from a prophetic standpoint, does Iran become a good country before the rapture or a bad one? I mean, is there anything to indicate this at all? Anything?
Well, again, it talks about the government versus the people.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So clearly, in the end times, there are going to be people who do not want this one world government or this Mahdi or whatever version you want to use, depending on where they come from, and they will be fighting against it. You and I both know a lot. I have very good friends, and like they're all gung ho. They want to be part of the tribulation and fight the devil off.
Pass.
You have at it.
Yeah, I'm taking
part of
that.
So. Yeah, I'm still wondering if he actually called them to that, and maybe they won't go in the rapture because they are called to be a tribulation saint and do it.
Maybe.
But
maybe.
It's possible.
It's
very clear that there will be this major separation during the tribulation, and whomever it is, there will be a great multitude from every race, language, nation, and tongue, which cannot be numbered, that are saved.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's hence the wars, the beheadings, and all that stuff, and hence the people who survive through the whole thing and wind up at the end, because it's going to be more than half the earth. One point it says a quarter, and another person we just read it said a third of mankind, and it's just going to be massive. But there'll be some that live through to the new millennium, and then Christ will rule and reign with them. We, as the bride of Christ, will be that our role is to go up beforehand with and rule and reign with him.
Yeah.
So we'll have that that authority in the heavenlies, while Israel, the ones that if they're saved now, they become part of the bride, but if they're saved during the tribulation, when the nation as a whole returns to Christ, then they'll rule on the earth with him. So he has different roles for different people.
Yeah, I just couldn't understand this, you know, whether or not Iran's got to go good before it goes bad. I don't know, because I know what the Bible says as far as who comes against Israel, and, you know, Iran is named specifically as being in that group, so that's not a good thing.
Right, but again, those are the governments, and the prince of Persia is there.
Okay.
And the prince of Greece and the prince, all these princes, those are the ones. But God works with people on an individual level. So even if you're born and raised in that country, you can still receive Christ individually.
Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that's what we're looking for, you know, because the last Christian may could very well come from Iran or, you know, from Russia or from North Korea. You have no idea where that last person is. God does. He's waiting on it. You know, as soon as it happens, you know, then there's going to be some fireworks, you know, that you've never seen before in your life and never will see afterwards, you know. Anyway, we're going to talk about it more in the second half of the show. We'll tell you how come we're talking about religious funding, too. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net. In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out ShopYourFarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit C2KReport.com and ShopYourFarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, the Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, I'm J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there in New York. David, I want to put this up as we continue on down the road here. To see Chinese forces. We hadn't talked about them yet, have we?
No. Yeah. We got a good friend now, Jamie Walden, loves to talk about how the Chinese has for years. He's like, no, they've already infiltrated us. They're going to be here. You watch. And so we should probably ask him about this.
Well, you know, it just says that you know, they are really pushing them. And that China describes these maneuvers as preparation for the inevitable reunification. So let's see what we got over here. Okay. This one's kind of scary because it says that, you know, Russia's moved its short-range missiles into Belarus. And then there's the Kings of the East thing. I know we talked about that, so let's move on here to this one.
We missed the No Kings Parade, though.
We missed the No Kings Parade, and I think a lot of people missed it, actually.
The people they paid to go.
Yeah.
I saw an interview with one, and the guy called him out. He says, well, aren't you a company that pays people? He says, well, yeah, sometimes we need people there, you know, to help support the cause. He's like, so you pay all the people to go to these protests. They don't even know why they're there. He's like, pretty much.
Yeah, they really, I don't think they really did know why they were there, you know, for the most of them.
Yeah, okay, let's
look at this now, because this is really what we're going to get into today. The White House issued a sweeping executive directive over the weekend that dramatically expands access for faith-based organizations to apply for and receive federal funding across nearly all social service sectors, including housing, education, disaster relief, mental health, and family support. Under the new framework, religious nonprofits are no longer required to remove or minimize religious symbols like crosses, Bibles, or religious language in spaces where federally funded services are provided. Ministries may now retain their faith-based hiring preferences, even while receiving federal grants, provided they maintain transparency about their policies. The directive reverses prior restrictions that prohibited federal grants from being used for inherently religious activities such as prayer, Bible study, or proselytization, provided such activities are offered voluntarily and separated from core services. All federal agencies, including HHS, HUD, FEMA, and the Department of Education, have been ordered to establish dedicated liaison offices to partner with faith-based initiatives and streamline their access to competitive grants. Now, on the face of it, looks pretty good.
Yeah, it does. Did you find anything underneath?
Yeah, I'll put this up here. Okay. The policy was introduced under the banner of equal access and religious inclusion. The administration argued that for decades, faith-based organizations have been on the front lines of America's most pressing social crises, serving the homeless, feeding the hungry, and rehabilitating broken families, yet were sidelined due to unconstitutional overreach of secularization. In his announcement, the president stated, "We're returning America to her roots. Faith is not the enemy of progress. It is the foundation. Churches, ministries, and Christian leaders will now take their rightful place as partners in the national mission." Now, again, all of that really sounds really good. You know, I was reading through this stuff, and I was going, wow, you know, this is pretty cool. One World Rising Again, evangelical response is mixed but alert. While many evangelical leaders, especially those leading large-scale ministries and urban missions, welcome the opportunity for increased financial support, other Christian leaders have issued strong cautions. Concern number one, entanglement with the state. There is deep worry that accepting government funding could lead to future compromise. While the policy appears to support religious freedom now, administrations change, and so can regulations. Ministries may be pressured later to alter core teachings on issues like marriage, gender, abortion, or biblical authority in order to keep funding. Concern number two is the regulatory strings. Even with increased freedom, ministries will still face audits, oversight, and compliance mandates. Some fear that the bureaucratic entanglement could mute gospel proclamation, or at worst, set traps for discrimination charges based on biblical doctrine. Concern number three is unequal treatment is still possible. Smaller churches or grassroots ministries may lack the administrative capacity to navigate the complex federal grant system, effectively favoring larger religious nonprofits that have legal teams and grant writers. And David, I want you to comment on all that, but the way I look at it, the one that bothers me or what jumped out at me is administrations change.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine 3.5 years from now, Governor Tim up there wins the presidency, or Spartacus, Corey, whatever his name is, okay, or how about Pocahontas, you know, AOC, even Kamala Harris, and they see this and they say, okay, now we can mold this, we can change this. We can make it more restrictive. We can have them jump through more hoops. In other words, it's not written in stone. It's written basically in whiteboard material.
Eraser board. Right?
Yeah, that's my take on it. What did you come across with?
Well, I'm all about take the money and run, and because there's a couple things, and when you listen to the C2K report. You can find out how you can actually set up your own stuff. And then in the process of that, you can set up a completely separate entity that's doing these things. So it's not tied to your original entity. Mm-hmm. And anyone who knows any kind of business law would understand structures like that. You could put everything under a trust and have everything as a completely separate company, to keep the liabilities separate. And just set up one of them to receive this. But while the money's there, at least for the next couple of years, at least grab it, and then if it does change, it's like, okay, that company's out of business now, we're done, and you just move on and you don't get that money anymore. But there's clearly ways to protect yourself legally and righteously with that. So I wouldn't worry about what the world's going to do. I mean, if the money's in front of you, just grab it. I mean, that's well, Jesus talked about that with a couple things too. And I could think, just the only one that comes off the top of my head is that lady who, she took all her a year's worth of oil and anointed his feet with it, and washed with her hair. And Judas is griping about it. Oh, we could have done this and that and the other. And so it's like, you'll have the poor with you always. Yeah. So if it's there and it's available, my opinion is, hey, let's just do what I can to grab it now and use it for the glory of God, because that's what it's for.
Yeah.
And if things change, they change, because he's still the king.
My concern with that, I mean, all that sounds great too, but my concern is that you've got a smaller church, not one of the powerhouse churches, because they're already left-leaning anyway. But one of these smaller churches, and they go for this stuff, and they go, you know, they jump through the hoops to make everything work, you know, and fill out the right paperwork. I'm sure there's paperwork involved in this stuff. And then the administration changes, and they say, okay, let's go back and review all these. And then it's like, okay, you need to pay us back this, or, you know, you need to do this in order to keep it. But more than that, if you don't, you know, if you don't do it, we're going to slap you down another way, you know, up to and including maybe closing the doors on your entire ministry. I can see this thing going south real quick, you know.
Well, yeah, that's why you set up different entities.
Okay.
It's real simple. Okay, I'm going to set up, you know, like said, let's say mine. I have the Hidden Day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a separate ministry entity. But I have, you know, I have two of them. One is Hidden Day. The other one is the Hidden Day. Mm-hmm. They're two separate things, and that's a legal thing. I mean, you know, how many big companies have sub companies? You know, like Coca-Cola, sub this and sub this, and they're all separate. To separate themselves from any kind of cross liability, there's no reason you can't just do something like that and just set up a separate one with the same intent. But you go after that one, but you can't go after this one.
Yeah,
and just takes a little education.
I like the fact Trump is doing this, mm-hmm. And you know he did it at a perfect time. By the way, you know, kind of slid this in under the doorway here on a weekend when, number one, you got his military parade going on, and they're having a fit about that, and they're praying for rain. I actually saw Tim Walz say, you know, nothing would make him happier than, you know, major rainstorm.
No, I can think of a few things that would make him happier. Teenage boys, for number one.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And then, you know, they got all the riots going on. No King's Day. By the way, Trump had a great thing on that one. You know, he said, "King." He said, "King, I got to fight for everything I do. You know, I don't feel like a king."
I got a hell of a time just trying to get something through Congress. I don't feel like a king.
But you know,
the irony of it all is, if it truly were a king, you wouldn't be allowed to have a protest day.
That's what he said, yeah. You know, but, you know, you got that going on. And then on top of that, then you got the Russia-Ukrainian thing going on, mm-hmm. where we pulled arms from them and sent it to our troops only. And then on top of that, you got Israel hitting Iran really hard over the weekend and Iran retaliating, of course. So this stuff with religious funding, it just kind of slid into the congressional record there with nobody paying it much attention, you know, because have you heard anybody say anything about this stuff? Anything?
About the retention?
No, about religious funding, you know, the changeover.
Funding? Okay.
Yeah.
No, I haven't really heard it. I mean, we should look it up.
No, I haven't heard it. I haven't heard it either, David. That's the thing. You know, I don't think... This was done at a perfect time, is what I'm getting at. You know, he snuck this thing in, and, you know, Democrats would be.
Oh, I get your point. Okay.
Yeah, they would be all up. You know, they'd have their panties in a bunch for sure if they knew.
Yeah, but now we got them busy with other stuff.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know how this. If they slide this in that reconciliation bill and make it like permanent, you know, where it can't be amended, then that would be awesome. You know, but my reading of the Bible is that the United States is not going to be any better than anybody else. I mean, well, we might be a little better than somebody else. Maybe we just object to the attack on Israel, but we're not going to support them. So, you know, that's bad. So, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in stuff right now. You know,
I've
read the end of the book, David. I've read the end of the book.
Yeah, I know. It's just going to get crazier and crazier. And remember, he's not going to tell us everything. He's just going to give us the major stuff. And there's going to be a ton of different things that are going to happen along the way that aren't in the bingo card book.
Right.
But here's one for you. Okay. You know Billy Long? He was a former U.S. representative from Missouri who hates the IRS.
Okay. Okay.
And he wanted to completely abolish the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
All right. and you know it, and it's evil, and it goes over all the correct information that it was established by the bankers, and there's no such thing as, you know, an Internal Revenue Service, and it's not internal. There's no revenue. None of this stuff. Well, Trump just appointed him as head of the IRS.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I missed that one. Okay.
And so they're looking now. Everyone's talking about. Okay, great. Because what he always wanted to do is dismantle the IRS and make a national sales tax.
that'd be awesome.
That's a proper way to do it. Honestly,
yeah, I'm 100% for that.
Yeah, because that's not the communist way. That's, hey, you know, we understand the government needs money to operate, but you know, the more you make, the more we take. Now that doesn't work that way. I should go on, you know, the gross national product, and that will encourage. So anyway, Billy Long is now the head of the IRS. Look for that to be abolished. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, you know, that makes the second department, if this guy is going to try to abolish the IRS, and then you've got the Education Secretary Linda McMahon, and she's trying to disassemble the Department of Education. You know, that would be two down real quick. That's countless money saved. But, of course, you know, you're going to get protests, and you're going to get legal challenges from the federal judges and all that kind of stuff for it. But, you know, I think Trump's getting used to that now, you know.
Well, he's realizing that they're not allowed to do that. I mean, the Constitution clearly says that the judges can't change the president's role and one iota.
But they're doing it, you know. And well, they're doing it short term. They're not doing it long term. They're doing it as a delay tactic.
Yeah, they're just trying to throw up a challenge, yeah.
Yeah, it's a delay tactic, trying to get through. I mean, he's got, obviously, he had 4 years to plan this stuff, and he planned it out. I mean, the boy didn't miss nothing. You know, I mean, he's right on it. So, I don't know. They're having to challenge everything because he's giving them too much, you know, and because they are so have Trump derangement syndrome as bad as they do, and they're focused on him so much, you know, they have to challenge everything. And some of the stuff that they're challenging, people look at them and going, you're against that? Like throwing criminals out of the country. Like, you know,
here you got criminals that are killing our people and taking all our money. Oh, they have a right to be here. Just because they're anti-Trump. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's stupid. I've never seen a party just fall off the wagon altogether. I mean, you would think that they all drank like Nancy Pelosi and none of them could handle it. You know, because they just all drank. Oh, my God.
And they're killing each other. I mean, look what happened in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, where that Democrat guy that, what's his name?
Are you talking about Tim Walz?
No, the guy he appointed that just killed the senators.
Yeah, Vance, I can't remember. I can't remember his name. Yeah,
it was Bolton, something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, and that they're trying to blame all these conservatives when it was one of their own people, who killed a Democrat who dared vote along the same lines as the Republicans.
Yeah.
You know, of defunding, illegal aliens. Don't give them our money.
Well, he had like 200 or 300 pamphlets, I think, you know, that said No King's Day or something like that. I mean, you know, he was busted with all that stuff. So, they can't blame this one on Republicans. And that's the reason that they're going to kind of push it to the side, I think, pretty quick, because, it doesn't sound good for them at all.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, his wife got in trouble, all sorts of stuff, too. But that's it. They're even killing their own if they don't follow the party line.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Let's look at this one. Don't think we've talked about this one yet either. I'm kind of losing my place today, guys. I'm sorry. Russia's moving to short-range nuclear weapons. Yeah, we did talk about that. Let's go over here, maybe. All right, yeah, that's all about what we were just talking about.
Yep, more
with that
stuff.
Right? So let's see if we can find We'll find one we hadn't had yet would be a good idea.
I know. We just like to talk about things, and they all like intertwangle.
They do. You know, they come together real easy. Okay, Mixed But Alert.
Yeah, we talked about
State. We did you too. Okay.
I wouldn't even be concerned with it. What the quote evangelical? And just as a side note, it's sad, but there's so many people who are turned off by what we call the church.
Yes,
and I firmly believe we're in the Laodicean church. Because I've personally seen like leadership in churches having adulterous affairs. Okay, I know there was one even from a church I was in like decades ago, which is one of the reasons I left. One of the elders slept with his babysitter. You know, so he's in jail for a while. You have the same things going on, and the choir gets hit the most because the singers always go out first. So there's all sorts of chaos going in there with the choir leader, you know, smoking dope in the back of the church during the week. This is what happened. So I don't put really a whole lot of faith when it says, evangelical, mix of views and stuff. Mm-hmm. No, I want to know, because in America, you could be in a Christian club. You know, and it's like that's all it is a club.
Yeah,
you know, if you're in Iran and you're a Christian, you're a Christian.
because 100%. Yeah,
they're going to kill you. And you're not going to get killed just to join a club. Same thing in China. They're going to take you away from your family, re-indoctrinate your family. You're never going to see them again. So these people are serious. But here we have all this lame nonsense that we call the church today. Oh, let's put up smoke and, we'll have the really good coffee. We'll
it's all about a show. Show. Yeah, and that's not good. Let's look at this one real quick, David, kind of wrapping things up here. White House, again, has issued this order. So, people need to be aware of it anyway. Let me see. Yeah, this... introduced under the banner of equal access and religious inclusion, the administration argued that for decades, faith-based organizations have been on the front lines of America's most pressing social crisis, serving the homeless, feeding the hungry. So he wants to return everybody to the roots. I think that's really, really cool. Okay, but I'm still real concerned about. I just don't know.
Well, yeah, it's coming back. I said just separate the entities, that's all.
Yeah. So anyway, this to encourage people here in a call to watch, the scripture for reflection is in Luke 21:36. It says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass." That's, it's really pretty powerful scripture right there.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get encouragement for the church as world leaders grope in the dark, as institutions fracture and powers rise against each other, the believer stands on solid ground, the Word of God. Let the events of the last 48 hours drive us deeper into prayer, fellowship, repentance, and readiness. For we're not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's also scripture. So, Lord, we see the signs around you. Strengthen our hearts, prepare your people, and awaken those who slumber. May we not fear what man can do, but look to the one who holds eternity in his hands. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. I believe that 100% there, David.
So, well, there you go. Then don't worry about whether the administration is going to shift or not.
Yeah.
He just trusts the Lord. They're going to hand you money right now?
Yeah.
As long as you're not requiring me to do anything and I can just preach the word with it, we're good.
I think Trump's on the right side. But, every now and then he does something and it's like, stop that.
Well, there's two different views there. I mean, obviously no one's perfect. Mm-hmm. So if you're gonna think he's perfect and do everything perfectly, you don't get married.
Absolutely right.
It's just not going to happen with anybody. So it's not going to work. You're not going to agree with him. Because if you and I agreed 100%, then one of us would be unnecessary.
Right. So,
But on the other hand, there's people who thinks, well, he's the Antichrist, so he's going to come in with all these wonderful things, and then you have that hook at the end. And I don't know if I go that far either. I think, yeah, he's done a lot of things in the past, as we all have, mm-hmm. that aren't exactly Christian in nature.
Right.
So have you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing is, now he's trying to do what he believes is best for the country.
I think
and
he is.
If you look at what he said for decades. I mean, I remember him as a very young man in the 80s mm-hmm. saying, oh, the country's bad. It's, we do this and this and this. And they're like, and even Oprah asked him, are you going to run? He says, well, I don't really think so, unless some point I have to.
Yeah.
But that was when he was young. But he wanted to fix things back then as well. Mm-hmm. So, being a sinner and, just because he's a man by nature doesn't necessarily mean that, he's out to completely trick the entire nation and then click us into the Antichrist.
Yeah, I don't think he's
that bit extreme either, too.
I don't think he's that. I don't think he's bad. I just don't, like you said, nobody's perfect. I don't. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff that he's done, like appointing the female to be the pastor of the White House staff or whatever. I didn't necessarily agree with that. Talking about Israel in such a way that, maybe I could go along with a split somewhere, cutting Jerusalem in half. I mean, he had never said that. But he hadn't said it's not possible. And that's what I want to hear. I want to hear them be real direct about it. No, we're not going to divide Jerusalem. No, they're not going to give up any land. That's what I want to hear, and I'm not hearing that yet.
We'll get there. We'll keep praying.
He's a master of the deal, So, I don't know. Some parts of it worry me. One thing I did want to put up here, David sent me this earlier today. Now, this is a guy that's charged with that Minnesota shooting over the weekend. And you can see that, man and wife there are not exactly conservative in their views.
Not exactly MAGA.
Yeah, you can see that for sure. I don't know where that's going, but I'm afraid that... things are changing now to the point that violence is going to become more and more rampant in the United States. This guy's going after Democratic politicians, even though it appears that he's a Democrat. He just didn't like one or two of their votes, and that was enough. That was enough to do it, And the thing is that may become a copycat. I've heard people talking about copycats. They don't want them. Yet, when they focus on that for a full weekend, we gave it a minute, maybe. But to focus on that for the full weekend, somebody out there is going to say, oh, man, I want to be that guy, that gets all this attention. They don't think it through. Stupid. Anyway, David, any final thoughts there? And go ahead and take us on down to the end of the show.
Yeah, this happens consistently, just when you think it can't get any closer, we're that much closer. But that's what the end time does. It's going to ramp up, and like birth pains, going to get closer and closer, stronger and stronger, and more and more. So praise God, he's about to return, mm-hmm. Either for us individually or us collectively. Either way, there's only a little bit of time left.
Amen.
So I would encourage you to receive his payment for mm-hmm. your sins in the contract terms. He actually paid off all of your sin debt. So mm-hmm. I would encourage you to receive that. I would encourage you to confess that, because it's mm-hmm. legal terms. You need to confess these things and bear witness to it and plead the blood of Jesus and repent. I mean, take your signature off your old sin contract and turn and do the right thing for the right reasons. So Lord willing, if we're still here, we will see you guys in the next show. Have a blessed day.
Looking for a simple way to support The Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.